Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Yo, what up, baby? It's going down. Welcome to episode number 24. I Hate the Homies podcast. I be Rock Teezy for Sheezy.
It's the first homie, Griff. Episode 24 is our Kobe episode. I hate the homies.
And it's your boy, Super Dave. But guess what?
We don't care.
Super Dave, why are you so sad sounding, bro?
I mean, I'm at home. It's a Monday night. It's Halloween night, man. I already did the trick-or-treating thing. It's time to get to bed now.
You got little kids. You went trick-or-treating or you gave candy out at your house?
I don't give candy out. You know I'm not a nice guy. So
we got to get into this. We got to get into this because that's mean, bro.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Rock, let me tell them what's going to happen this episode, dog. We're going to get right into the Scrooge of Halloween, dog.
Absolutely. Yeah, we gotta address this.
Right. Number one, we're gonna talk about Kanye, man. We have to talk about it, like Bill Cosby, Deion Sanders, and check this out. We're gonna talk about Deion in a light that y'all might not be ready for. I'm actually kind of excited about this. Of course, this is our first episode with McDonald's Love at First Bite segment. We talking about what? That McRib. Man,
before it's gone, but we're gonna get into that.
The Eagles are still undefeated. We'll talk about the NFL and, of course, college football. Although, no matter what we say in this episode, the next time you hear us, it's gonna be all different, but it's gonna be an amazing show. So, get ready for it. How about that?
Let's go, baby. Ray Duggar,
you done messed up, Aaron.
Yeah, huh? I've been geeking for this broadcast. Got me in my bag, cause all they do is talk a lot of trash. Wait until I see them face to face off of this podcast. What you gotta say now? Check the facts, don't have the wrong stat. Rock T, he a genius as a sport, make Ricky smile, boy. Super Davey Holly come up short on like it's Cowboys. Always controversial, Griff call out plays, no rehearsal. Got me talking all in circles. Ah, I hate the homies. And Griff be laughing like it's funny. But they never bet no money. They my mans, but they throw me. Ah, I hate the homies.
Alright, so y'all probably wondering why we all in three different spaces today. So I'm actually on the road at Russ College, man. Another one of our fine HBCUs. Our oldest daughter attends school at Russ College. And man, it's she had her first basketball game this year of the season, and they won. So excited. I was hyped. Mom was hyped. Mom might have been a little bit more hyper than me. You know, she didn't want to be embarrassing the kids because she the loudest one in the gym. But if you ain't never been to an HBCU basketball game, you already know it don't take much to get hyped. You know what I'm saying? It was fun. So proud of her. Lyric Turner, that's our oldest daughter. And so that's where I'm at. I'm in a hotel right now. There it is.
How's she do? What'd she finish with?
Oh, man, she had 12, 9, and 4 assists. 12 points.
Nice. Nice. That's a good solid game. I'm in New Orleans over here off of Canal. It's my wife's birthday. She'd never been to New Orleans before. We actually came for the Raider game. Let me tell you something, man.
You should have skipped past that part, dog.
I could have skipped past them tickets. And well, just came straight to my wife's birthday.
Your wife never been to New Orleans. This is her first time.
Yeah. So she was enthralled and amazed of how cool the Saints fans was. You know, living in Atlanta 22 years, I've been messing with Saints fans the whole 22 years. Great people. Amazing food. So we had a private chef, Chef Ashley, on Instagram. She's let that girl cook, and she came and made she made gumbo, she made Cajun pasta, catfish and shrimp. Stop and it. Beignets. Like, so I'm in an Airbnb right now, full really glad that this came on late because we ain't want to go out. We grown. And they said Halloween is the busiest night of New Orleans, more than Mardi Gras. So it is bananas outside right now.
So what did the chef make again?
She made beignets. She made Cajun pasta.
Okay.
She made what was it? Catfish and shrimp and so, and one more dish. I'm missing gumbo. Something. And gumbo, yeah. And
gumbo. She's missing one dish that y'all should have had. Some what? Eggs for all the zeros y'all had on the scoreboard for four quarters. Embarrassing.
I walked into that one. That's fine. That's fair. Let me tell you, you know what's bad? And we'll get into it in a segment. I'll wait. You at, Dave? Where are you at?
I'm at home because we're doing the podcast right now. It's, of course, Monday night, and it's Halloween night. Now, I'm not a big Halloween person, but my kids, I can't take the joy away from them. I never liked it. I don't like giving candy out to kids because... What are you doing that, Rob?
How can you be so mean and not what's like giving candy out to kids, man, and seeing all the costumes?
Why do I want to make some other kids happy? I have my own kids. I'll buy them candy. I'm not buying some little snot-nosed kids candy.
Wait a minute. On the radio today, we asked for the get-up poll, get-up mornings with Erica Campbell. We said, you know, this is an inspirational show. How y'all feel about Halloween? So three people called and said, it's evil, it's pagan worship, and I hate these little begging kids for candy. Why are you letting kids beg for candy? I was like, who's begging for candy?
Right.
You just give the candy or you don't.
Now, one year I did this. I set like the big, you know how people, you put the candy out and set out on the porch when you don't want to open the door.
Right.
Answer the door. So I just set a big pumpkin out there, but it wasn't candy in there. It was nothing but rocks. So if you want to take a rock home, you could.
You are the Scrooge of Halloween, like for real, bro.
This you a whole cartoon by yourself, dog. I want to write it.
That's not my holiday. My holiday is Christmas.
I thought you was Prince one year and Jessica Rabbit what happened?
Where'd you get the phone? You said Jessica Rabbit. Where'd you get the Jessica Rabbit from?
Wasn't you a girl for Halloween when you worked at Albertsons?
Okay, well, yeah, you're going to
he was the fruit of the moon.
Y'all remember you was Jessica Rabbit? Oh, no, you was going against Jessica Rabbit.
That was the younger Super Dave. I was young and dumb at that particular time. I became a Scrooge.
Sound like you was young and fun, dog. We hate old and new ass Super Dave.
Right. Exactly. You got all tense and tight and always.
They said it with a straight face, Rock. I hate giving candy to kids.
I hate it.
Why? Yosemite Sam, dog.
Why make somebody else's kid happy? Why do that?
This is the real life Yosemite Sam, dog. For real.
Y'all think I'm playing. I don't
know. We know you're not, dog.
Oh, man. So let's get into the show, man. We're going to start off talking about Kanye.
Now, that's a Halloween trick already.
Nobody got quiet. Nobody want to address the elephant in the room with Kanye? I mean, I'll go first. Let me tell you something, man. Kanye, he's not, how can I say this? Because, you know, people are sensitive. He's going up. Some of the things that he's saying, it's like he's going about it the wrong way. Like, we all have our right to express our thoughts, our feelings, and our opinions about whatever.
Okay? Absolutely.
He has a right to believe what he wants to believe, to think how he wants to think, and to say whatever he wants to say. But at the same time, there's a way to do things. Does that make sense? Like, I hear it,
and to break it down even more, it's like this. I wanted to punch a dude in the mouth the other day, right? And then all I could think about was, I punch him in the mouth, the police come, they tase me, I go to jail. No one says his name at all. They say Griff from Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell, arrested at the Walmart. They don't even say the dude provoked me or not. You know what I mean? Like, so it's all bad for me. So immediately I go, I ain't gonna punch this dude in the face. It ain't even worth it because I'm gonna be in more trouble than him.
Message.
But when you, I believe in Kanye's defense, we all know that he's suffering from some very serious mental health issues. And we've been laughing it off, but really, as African Americans, we need to take mental health issues as serious as colon cancer and mammograms and everything else, because you got to think our whole genealogy has been set up on mental health problems. We was taught to love our masters. For 400 years ago, we was taught Stockholm syndrome. So mental health awareness is real. Kanye just happened to be the spokesperson, but I also believe that Kanye is a very enlightened person. And sometimes when you're that enlightened, you can't tell everybody. If that makes sense, Dave, would you understand me?
I know you guys are being nice to Kanye, which is fine. I mean, I understand some of his points. I don't believe in none of them, but I'm just going to call it what he is. He's a damn fool. We can sit up here and say mental health, but he has other issues too. Somebody need to put a fist in his mouth. He need a pull-up pal. He need a guy that's going to pull him away when he wants to be on that microphone.
I've been saying that forever.
And he doesn't have that person. Even if he have people in his lives right now, they won't say what they need to say, because why? You got a guy with money, a whole lot of money.
Well, I beg to differ a little bit on that, because a lot of people are the same way he's losing endorsements, the same way people are walking away and quitting from his own team. They're walking away from him, the money, because of they don't believe in how he's acting. You know, those anti-Semitic statements and comments that he's been talking about.
That killed him. He lost Aaron Donald from his Donda Sports. He lost Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics. His school closed down. He had three young men that were in the top 50. He had one dude that was number 8 going to Kentucky. So he keeps himself surrounded with great people.
And today's point, some people, this is what I'm hearing, people that are close to him that are telling him, hey, man, you may want to put a muzzle on it. You may want to kind of check yourself. You may want to kind of just kind of go hibernate for a little while, let this blow over and come back. But he's not even listening to them. Like, you know, word is, you know, I get it. When you have that much money, you have a lot of yes people on your team.
Of course.
But I keep hearing that he has some people that are not yes people and they're trying to check him. And it's like, man, we tried. He's just a loose cannon right now.
Are we looking at this wrong, Dave? Because him leaving Adidas is costing Adidas $1.5 billion. But if Kanye take all his shoes and just sell them online, because he don't need a physical brick-and-mortar place. First of all, you got to bid for Yeezys anyway. You just can't buy them. If he took his shoes and sold them online, he stands to make more than Adidas would make selling the shoe for him. If that's where his head was. I'm just saying, if he wanted to go into the shoe or the fashion business, he knows the model.
Okay. Now just tell me if I'm old or not, because I don't get the whole outfit. I don't get the shoes. I don't get
Them shirts is ugly. All them shirts look like Django slave shirts. They long shirts with holes in them. They look like he hopped a barbed wire fence and was like, what? He hopped the barbed wire fence and went straight to a catwalk. Ladies and gentlemen, Kanye West with the blood and the hands, his hands.
I'm just gonna tell you like this. I don't feel sorry for him, because I think the one point you brought up, you got two big time athletes that moved away from
the biggest
from his agency, which is Jaylen Brown, right?
Yeah.
And also Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. But who was the head of that? Who was the head of that company?
Who talked Aaron Donald and assigned him with a rapper?
Antonio Brown is the main guy.
He's the president of Donda.
He's the president.
That you are lying to me.
Yes, sir.
Dave.
Antonio Brown. You got two fools. You got two crazy fools. We can sit up and say mental illness and everything, but those are two fools putting a company together.
Antonio Brown and Kanye West is Heckle and Jekyll.
Man.
And people actually sign with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are not small time.
I was players. Today years old when I knew Antonio Brown was behind it, dog. Absolutely. I'm sick right now, dog.
Okay. I'm just
wow.
It's pathetic. I'm just telling you, I can't feel, I understand what you're saying about mental issues, but he needs to have a pull-up pal, and he needs to go away. He needs to go somewhere, another country, and disappear and get away from us.
Well, don't be, is other countries listening to the podcast saying, don't bring him over here.
Well, I want him yet. I want them to have him. Want? I don't want that. I don't want that treat no more. I don't want that no more.
So, I believe, and this is, you know, as a parent, we all parents, he wanted some things to not happen, like his kids. He ain't want his kids in social media, but their mama allegedly was pushing them because, you know, that's how they get their money, from the sisters and the mama and the whoever and the kids. And so I just feel like, I'm going to just say this out loud. I hope somebody watches Kanye, because I don't want him to hurt himself.
Right.
Because that's the only thing that he can do next. And write a very long note or a song or something, but I just don't want him to hurt himself.
Well, I know one thing. I'm about to hurt myself eating one of these McDonald's McRib sandwiches, because let me tell y'all something. This portion of the podcast is McD's McRib sandwich love at first bite. Mickey D's McRib, bittersweet good news for you, man. Back, but only until November the 20th.
Woo!
And this is the McRib farewell tour. Hey, let me tell y'all something, man, about why I call myself a McRibber. I've been rocking with McDonald's McRibs from day one, and this is bittersweet for me, because it's more than just a sandwich. Man, this is an epic. This is an atmosphere that puts you into a mood of you can't just grab a McRib sandwich and just eat it and then be done with it. Man, you gotta have your bib on, because you're gonna get a little messy with the sauce that's gonna be.
It's gonna get a little messy.
You'll get a little messy. You can't just leave it at just you gotta get make sure when you bite into it, you gotta bite a pickle. You know what I'm saying? Because the pickle and the onions and the sauce combined together in one bite, it's an experience, man. I can't even explain it. Y'all, Griff, you tell me what you're thinking, man. But this
I don't know if y'all are diehard McRibbers like the homie Rock T, but I know I can remember as an adult the first time I had a McRib, and I always thought, this is the best sandwich I ever had in my whole life. And back then, I wasn't able to even be cool enough to say, I think it's the tangy barbecue sauce and the pickles and all. Like, I ain't even know. I was just saying, this is the best sandwich I ever had in my life. And I feel sorry that some of y'all might not be able to have that same experience, because November 20th is the last day. Super day.
November 20th is the last day. I'm telling you, the first time I had one, I was a senior in high school.
Preach.
And I fell in love the first time I took a bite of it. That tangy barbecue sauce, the tart pickles, the onions on that hoagie bun had me locked in at first sight. I'm telling you. And every time it went away, a piece of my heart went away with it. It really did.
You said something right there, because I've always been trying to tell McDonald's, why are we taking it away?
Why?
Man, leave that thing.
Leave that thing.
You got me hooked.
Come on, man. So, listen, we want to shout out to all of our listeners and all our fans out there. If you are a diehard McRib fan like us, and this could be your first time, if you've never tried a McRib, first of all, where you been, okay? Get it now before November the 20th. Man, it's bananas. It's exciting. It is what it is, man. McRib, I promise you, you're going to come back to I Hate the Homies podcast, and you're going to be like, Rock, Griff, Super Dave, I never knew. Well, now you know. All right? It's going down.
You got time. You got time. Let's talk about Deion Sanders, Rock.
Let's go, man. Deion Primetime Sanders. He, listen, if I'm not mistaken, Auburn just fired their coach. And you already know Deion is no secret to saying that he would entertain a Power 5 job. Do y'all see Deion Sanders going to Auburn and accepting the job if they offered it to him?
I believe if Deion Sanders, why would he leave a situation where his son could get drafted probably in the second round? I don't know how many quarterbacks ahead of him right now, but definitely a second rounder. Maybe because of his daddy, lower 24, 25 in the first round, you know? He's made the entire country. There's more children going to HBCUs now, percentage-wise, than they are going to the predominantly white institutions. I can't see him selling out a whole – and, yes, you want to work your way up. He was a junior high. He was a high school. He's now HBCU. You do want to, because the only thing next is to go to Auburn and go to the NFL. But I think he understands that he needs to be there for just. And now in a couple years, don't be looking for Deion. He did his thing. And look, I'm gonna say it like this: when his son leaves, he ain't gonna be so pressed to be at HBCU.
I think the biggest thing is if you guys had a chance to watch the College Game Day on ESPN.
That thing was exciting. Tell them what it is for the people who don't know.
This is where Kurt Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, they travel to each big game on each Saturday. And most of the time, we've never heard about it going to HBCU. We've seen it go to Ohio State. Ohio State plays Michigan, Alabama plays LSU.
Power five schools.
But when you see them go to HBCU school, like he did when they went to Jackson State.
They was at FAMU a couple years ago. Last year.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But I'm telling you, this was huge because you got a chance to see all of us come together.
Yeah.
Without any trouble. Right. You know what I mean? I don't want to bring any negativity in it, but I mean, let's just be truthful. You had a bunch of us come together for a big event like that. That Deion had a big hand in this thing.
Absolutely.
Coming out. Absolutely. There. And it made it even bigger because now ESPN can go, you know what? We're missing the boat on something. We need to start going to HBCUs.
That's right. So
If he jumps to the a Power Five, he set the blueprint on what the HBCU schools should be doing and other head coaches doing. We shouldn't hate on each other. He's just showing you a blueprint on how we can make money. Stop settling for the peanuts. The big schools are not doing that. They're going for the big money. We as black people should stop selling for less and start getting more of what we deserve.
Come on. I was a very proud African American when I clicked on my ESPN app and went to my scores and looked at all my Penn States and Michigans and Iowas, and then I see Jackson State versus Southern.
Come on, dog.
That was a big deal, dog.
This is why, in my opinion, why Deion Sanders will not go Power Five yet. Not yet, because you guys just kind of mentioned some of these points. Deion understands that his goal outside of helping these young men move to the next level, but also to bring attention and spotlight to our HBCUs. What comes along with attention and spotlight? Money.
That's right.
So he's gonna help close a major funding deal somewhere over this next year or two. I promise you, it's going to be a huge pot of money, not only for him and Jackson State, but it's going to be spread out throughout all HBCUs. I don't know what the name of this fund is going to be, but he's going to help bring so much money from media, television money.
They're going to have to split it with everybody. It's going to be a lick, though.
Merch, merchandise. I mean, sponsors. There's going to be so much money. Once he does that and completes this deal, that's when he says, hey, guys, I've done my job.
I did my part.
Y'all take it from here.
Okay.
And why would you want to go to a losing Auburn anyway? It's only going to get worse.
Y'all are both crazy right now. If Auburn came knocking on Deion's door right now, because we're talking about money, and I know Deion has a whole bunch of money, but when you got a school
throwing a
whole bunch more money to you, I mean, they're spending $15 million, $15.5 million to buy out Brian Harsin's deal. They're throwing money out. Deion had a chance to go to Florida State. Florida State missed out on bringing Deion in.
Yeah, they did.
His son is not getting, the quarterback is not getting the publicity he should be getting. He should be in the Heisman race, the numbers he's putting up right now.
They've been high-key, low-key saying that. To hear Kirk Herbstreit say that on college game day, that was special.
But if you got a chance to go to Auburn, you put Deion, you put his son on the map. And some of those guys, I know we're talking about some of the guys at Jackson State now, they're going to do the transfer portal and head over to wherever Deion is. But he's opened up the door. He showed them how to do the blueprint. It's time for him to make his money. I mean, you do want bigger and better things. He wants to be in the Power Five.
Nah, stay black.
He wants to go against those schools.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Listen, man. Y'all, Dave, what's his nickname? Prime time. He loves the spotlight. He loves this attention that he's getting, the credit that he's getting, and he ain't ready to leave the spotlight.
No, exactly. Come on, Rock.
How much more spotlight would he get if he turned Auburn around?
Prime is a smart brother. This dude he's beyond just one of the, if not the coldest athlete of all time. This dude is a very intelligent brother. He knows what he's doing. He is not going to go anywhere anytime soon. I give him maybe 2 or 3 more years. Then maybe he'll start thinking about it.
When Shazier leave, he's out, dog.
This is the same guy that went from Atlanta to San Francisco for a bigger stage and went to the Cowboys for a bigger stage. Auburn is a big stage. If he wins there, if he can prove he can win there, the sky's the limit for whatever he wants to do.
You don't want to leave HBCU and jump in the SEC.
I don't want to do this, man. Yes, you do want to leave. Yes, you do want to leave. If Auburn can't either one of y'all. Y'all had success at Jackson State. You guys are Deion primetime right now. If they came to you right now, 6-year deal, $100 million. So you're going to pass that up. Because you want to be at a HBCU and continue your legacy there when you got a chance to make more money and be on a bigger stage and win even bigger in a Power Five. That's his goal. You would pass that up?
But, okay. No, by the way. But does Deion have that same Coach Prime respect, swag? If I ain't swag, to white kids, because it's not the same. And you know that.
If you go there and win, you're bringing some of your guys that you got at Jackson State.
We talk about this all the time, Super Dave. You not going to win in the SEC. You go out there playing with these boys. You already know what's about to happen.
I'm not going to doubt him. I'm not going to doubt him that he can't win there. We're talking about can he beat Alabama? Everything is even right now in the SEC. It ain't just Alabama. It's LSU.
Let me
want to be in that game. That's why you go after Deion Sanders.
Let me preach to y'all real fast. Let me come from the mind of the sports genius of Rock Teasy for Sheezy. This is one of those moments. Primetime Deion Sanders has already said that give us a couple more years and we're going to be competing against the Alabamas. We're going to have the same talent as the Georgias. We're going to just give us a few more years. That's his goal. That's part of his challenge. The money, yes, he got it all good. I guarantee you, he's got his endorsement deals that he has, I guarantee you he's making as much with his endorsement deals that he would get any kind of check from Auburn. Okay, I digress there. But he wants to prove that HBCU programs can compete on the same level as Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and whoever else, okay, in the SEC or whatever.
Can they rock?
And right now, no. But that's one of his goals that's motivating him.
Can they in 2 years?
No, they can't.
It depends. Look who he just recruited this last year, the number one wide receiver in the country. Okay? So just imagine.
Can that wide receiver stop the cornerbacks from Alabama and Tennessee and Florida and Georgia rock?
Bro, those are the same caliber type players that he would have been playing against if he didn't change his mind. He wouldn't have been playing against them same players. Dude, when you
listen, I'm all black everything. I'm Issa Rae with this, dog. I'm black, whoever black, dog. But
listen, real, man.
Y'all. But we have the advantage of watching football from an unfair advantage. We watch it at an angle that's not realistic to no athlete that play. No athlete that plays football looks at football from above the quarterback view. So it's easy for us to say what we won't do and what we want, but Deion Sanders is a complete athlete. Right now, he knows he ain't ready to go to Auburn. He knows that. Like, he's safe where he at. He down here getting Geico commercials. They done moved the goose over. They done moved the Aflac goose over to a goat. Now the goat, who is Deion Sanders, and the goose, who is the Alabama coach, are going back and forth in commercials. Like, he's winning on such a level of an HBC. Like, if he ain't do, if Deion Sanders ain't do nothing else for HBCUs tomorrow, he did it all.
And listen, when the playing field gets leveled, when the playing field gets, because he's recruiting, these players are going to start passing on Alabama and Georgia, and they're going to come out to Jackson State because they want to play with Prime.
Are
they
right?
No, they know they can get to the league.
They know they can get to the league playing with Prime too. So it's not just about the quarterback and the wide receiver. It's defensive linemen, offensive linemen.
Rock,
all
you gonna leave a giant school in Allen, Texas?
Thank you.
And go play for Jackson, for Bethune-Cookman.
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Yes.
If I got an opportunity to go to an HBCU. And it's an NIL deal. Let's not forget about them NIL deals. And more top recruits are coming as well. Come on, man.
Absolutely. But I just like to say I didn't go to college at all. I wanted to be a comedian since I was 3 years old. No offense to Bethune-Cookman graduates or alum. I was just using them as an example. But I believe that we're talking about Deion, and we could go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, I want Rock to answer this because you answered it already.
I already know what he goes.
They're giving you an 8 to 10 year deal to turn Auburn around right now. $100 million. I know all the great things you've done for HBCUs, all the great things you've done for Jackson State, and you're saying that Deion or you're not ready right now. But they're putting that contract in front of you right now, and they believe in you. Mm-hmm. You're going to pass that up.
I got two answers for that. Answer number one is, if I'm thinking like Deion is thinking, I know I have resources to go get that money to bring into not only my Jackson State University, but also to help bring more attention to HBCUs. I can get that money elsewhere through sponsorship and endorsement and giving and donor. I can get that. I'm still gonna get the money somehow.
What's your second answer?
My second answer is because of that, I'm staying put for at least 3 more years.
I can't believe this.
Because I'm gonna.
I promise you, when his son leave, he leaving. Watch. Yeah, don't nobody be shocked in the May. And guess what? His son got another year to seriously be put on some Heisman stuff and some other stuff. He got 1 more year. So that means Deion got one more class that could be special. And then he might be two fingers, though.
Where can that class head to? They can head to a Power Five where son would be noticed even more to maybe be in the Heisman Trophy race, and he probably won a Heisman Trophy. By the numbers,
you don't want your son to be getting beat up by Tennessee and Mississippi State and Florida and Georgia. No. You don't want that for your boy.
Don't be surprised if Deion's son Shador is starts having those names and started mentioning in those conversations and on that panel.
I wanted to
trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah, I wanted to.
If he's not in New York at the Heisman Trophy presentation, and he's one of the people sitting on that doggone stage right before they're about to get ready to announce the winner. There's still a half a season left, guys.
But at Jackson State, we're saying this year, right?
This year. Don't be surprised if that happens this year, if he keeps putting those kind of numbers up. Now,
right now, he got 2,400 yards and 24 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That boy is balling out of control.
The only thing that they're going to say on why he will not win, even if he is up on that stage, is because of the level of competition.
Strength of conference.
That's a fair argument.
If he makes it.
It must be nice to get 500 yards passing against Southern and Grambling.
If he makes his way to New York, to even sit in the chair in New York for the Heisman Trophy presentation, find me a cold ass lake and I would get naked and go in that cold ass lake just for that.
Well, look here, Apollonia. You don't know what could happen, Apollonia.
Lake Minnetonka. We going to Lake Minnetonka in Minnesota. Mark that.
Let's move on to the next. While we marking stuff, let's talk about some of these college games. What was the biggest upset to y'all? I already know what you're going to say, Dave. Rock, what was the biggest one for you?
Once again, man, there just ain't no upset. I think TCU Horned Frogs, man, them boys going to be in the doggone – they may mess around and get in that playoff, man. I like TCU.
We'll know next week. We'll know next episode, should I say. Yes. But I'm looking at – I told somebody today, somebody said, well, what's the BCS and how – I said the BCS basically going to say this. Georgia number one, Ohio State number two, Michigan number three, and Alabama number four, and then Tennessee number five. Like, that's what's going to happen. Quote them. Them four right there. Quote them.
I still think Alabama is on the outside looking in. I think they'll be in that fifth spot. I'll put Tennessee and Michigan can flip flop. It could be three or four between those two. But again, when the BCS comes out on Tuesday,
Tennessee play Georgia this week.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. All these schools got to play each other, and I think in the end we'll know who's going to be playing for a national championship. And Alabama still has a shot. TCU has a shot. And that's all you want is a shot right now.
Hey, TCU out here playing some special football, dog. And they be losing, and then they come back. Them boys got grit. They got grit.
Definitely. But we'll find out with Tennessee and Georgia who's the real deal. Because those two teams will cancel one each other out. And then your team. I mean, I don't want to take notice of Michigan just because of you. But then you got to take notice of Michigan because of what happened in the locker room on the way to after the Michigan State game. Did you see that?
Yeah, 4 Michigan State players got suspended.
What the heck is going on, man?
First of all, little brothers in Lansing, relax. That's number one. That's number one. You know this is a big game. Even Michigan know they got to play up because everybody want a shot at the champ. So Michigan State loses again, and guess what that means? 4 weeks? Ohio State. Ohio State ain't really got to play nobody for 4 weeks, and we ain't got to play nobody for 4 weeks. So the last Saturday in November, Thanksgiving weekend Saturday, we about to see something, period.
That was a punk move by Michigan State, because you went in that game knowing you – I know it's an in-state rival – you went in the game knowing you were going to be 20-point dog underdogs in that football game. Easy. And we can say that, you know, both teams shouldn't have to go up to the same tunnel, but they've been doing that for years. So we can't blame it on that. It was some knuckleheads on the team. They got mad because you lost. End of the day, I don't know if some kind of prosecution is going to come about this, but they need to be kicked off the team. At the end of the day, if we don't see anything from a police report, anything like that, they need to be kicked off the team for what they did after that game, because that's an embarrassing thing for the state, for the schools, and for the coaches, and for the team. They shouldn't be on the team right now. They shouldn't even play another game. They should be done with football, period.
What about Louisville putting 48 on number 10 Wake Forest?
Now, Wake Forest is another one of those sneaky teams that I was just starting to say, hold on, let me spend a little bit more time paying attention to this team. But
they do you like Northwestern? They give you Northwestern vibes. Right. Sometimes they be sweet. But to get to number 10, that's a big deal for Wake Forest. So they'll fall to wherever they fall, and they still going to be happy.
Even though both of these teams got two losses now, what's up with Kansas State putting 48?
That's a scary.
Oklahoma State.
That's a scary team. That is a scary team.
Yeah.
And that's who TCU still got to see. They still have to see them, because you're going to see them in the Big 12 championship game. So they're not out the woods yet. The one thing I had about TCU, the big question mark is, I'm not sold on their defense. The offense can score. They can put points on the board. But I need that defense to be a little bit better if you're going to go against teams like Georgia, teams like Tennessee or Michigan or Alabama.
They own, bro.
You got to be able to stop. I like TCU, but I'm telling you, it's just a different brand of football when you play against the SEC, and you know that.
You know, you have everybody saying Cincinnati Bearcats, but them boys lost to unranked UCF, and they was ranked 20th. They lost 25-21. What happened to their squad? Like, what happened to
last year, if I'm not mistaken, they lost
a lot of players. They lost a lot of players.
Out of their 22 starters, I think 18 were seniors last year.
Rock, 16 people from Georgia went to the NFL, dog.
Yeah, but that's Georgia. Like 16 new came in. And they didn't lose the step. That's the difference. You know,
right. Now, if I'm Georgia, that means Georgia just got 16 red shirts.
They got 16. Man, when you talking about the Georgias and the Alabamas and all them, man, they got the backups may be better than the people that starting. They just waiting for their shot.
You're right.
That's why I can't wait. When the BCS comes out, we'll know the truth. Because are we really concerned with the top five, six teams?
Top six.
Yes.
Top seven. Three play five and two play. So even if you eight, you feel good about your chances, because all them SECs and Michigans and Ohio States, they got to play each other. So I say, don't sleep on the top eight, and number nine should. I would feel good at number nine.
There it is, man.
Should we go to the NFL? I like to start this horrible NFL week, dog.
Go ahead, dog. Go ahead, man. What happened to your Ravens, man?
Let me get the violin music.
Field goal, bro.
we need funeral music. We need somebody singing.
Oh man, the Raiders couldn't even get a field goal, dog.
They didn't have 100 total yards passing until the fourth quarter.
Bro.
When they benched Derek Carr with 4 minutes left, I was just looking like, don't do DC like that. But then the boy that came in with no timeouts took them boys to the 2-yard line, would have scored if he had another. I was like, well, I don't know.
That was embarrassing.
It was.
Ain't nothing you can say. You just got drug off the doggone field, man. It is what it is. Y'all want to talk about Tom Brady and them Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What's going on?
You know what? I don't think what people – I mean, I know that the divorce was finalized this past week. I just think they have a bad football team right now. And I think Bruce Arians was a big part of them winning the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
And it's done against
Todd Bowles. Bowles is a great defensive coordinator. And some guys are just meant to be coordinators. Not you can make white, black, I don't care. I'm not speaking of any color. I'm just saying most guys are meant to be coordinators. And most guys can't lead men. And I think that's what I'm looking at when I see him leading these the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because the defense is not good. That's his specialty. And they can't stop nobody. So you put the pressure and everything back on Todd Bowles, because that's where you're supposed to be good at. Tom Brady can handle the offense. They got the offensive line is bad. No running game right now. Leonard Fournette came in heavy. He came in fat this past season.
But in Bowles still calling the defense? I know he's head coach, but isn't he still calling the defense?
And that's what I mean. He's still calling the defense. If he wants to keep his job, you hand that position to somebody else. You can look at the whole entire team. Everybody's not meant to be over entire team. Most guys are.
And you know what? That sound crazy, but you're absolutely right. You got to have an offensive person. Here go the three of us right here. Somebody got to do offense. Somebody got to do defense. And somebody got to do special teams. You can't do all three of them. It sound easy because you're like, oh, it's just the same. But when the defense trusts you all the way, now the defense can't trust you some because you're all in the offense. Like, so I get it. I understand exactly what you're saying. And it's not a bad thing because coordinators and assistants get awards too at the end of the year.
Yes. But look at all the people that came out from under Bill Belichick. Who was a great successor leaving Bill? There's really
it definitely ain't Josh McDaniels, dog.
Josh McDaniels is what? He's a hell of a coordinator because he won championships.
He's a hell of a coordinator. He got six rings. Yeah.
But he cannot be a head coach.
He can't, dog.
Right now. Hey, I was hyped when my man Patricia went to Detroit a couple years ago. I'm like,
He messed over y'all.
Yeah, I was hyped. I'm like, oh, it's going to go down. But like,
Most guys are meant to be coordinators, and that's it. I'm not saying don't take a shot at being a head coach, but it takes a lot to be a head coach. You can't handle both jobs. You can't still be a defensive coordinator and still be a head coach. Take the position of head coach and oversee the team. You can chime in every now, like Bill Parcells did. He chimed in every now and then. At the end of the day, it's going to be his decision if he wants to continue to run the ball.
Answer me this.
Bill Parcells is a great coach. That's what made Jimmy Johnson a great coach. Bill Belichick, a great coach. At the end of the day, they still make the call at the end. But you got
How are the Eagles undefeated? And A.J. Brown is getting 3 touchdowns and 156 yards.
It was against Pittsburgh. It was against Pittsburgh, and that's fine. They did exactly what you're supposed to do on a team that they were better than. Pittsburgh is not good this year. Let's not be crazy about this. They're not good. But they came out and punched Pittsburgh in the mouth. And that's what you're supposed to do if you feel like you're the better team. No different than what the Cowboys did to the Chicago Bears.
Right.
The Chicago Bears put up 240 yards against the Cowboys rushing. But the Cowboys scored on the first 4 drives, dominated the entire game. There was never a doubt where you thought the Cowboys had a chance to lose that game. They dominated. Now, they gave up yards rushing. But then now we have the big question mark about the Cowboys' offense because Dak looked good in that game. But then do you go with Pollard? Because Zeke sat out this past week. And Pollard averaged 9.5 yards to carry. 9.5
Pollard been sweet. I'd have thought somebody would have wanted Pollard 2 seasons ago.
They did.
Yes, but I think what the Cowboys are doing, they got the right thing they're doing, which is you got a guy that has power, which is Zeke. And you have a slasher, and the guy that has breakaway speed can break one at any time, which is Pollard. I think you give both of them the same amount of carries. You can get 15 to 20 carries a game. It keeps Dak from throwing it 30 to 40 times a game. Keep you in that position where you keep the game close, but also your running game lets you hold on to that ball and that other team not get the ball. Because when you start playing teams like Green Bay, Minnesota, you play keep away. If you can run the ball, you play both. But people said like they did with Cooper Rush. Now you saw Pollard, what he did, 14 carries, 131 yards, 3 touchdowns. We don't need Zeke no more. Yes, you do. You still need Zeke.
Yeah, it's a package deal. It's a package deal. We're not ready. Let's not go into the situation of who's a better running back at this point in time.
Oh, no.
I think they feed off each other. because before Zeke got hurt, he had a solid game. You know, he looked like the Zeke of old. So
he did look like young Ohio State.
I can't believe we're agreeing on something. Yes, we shouldn't have to go past this. Jerry Jones shouldn't even make a comment about this. It should be Zeke being your starter and Pollard doing exactly what he's doing. But when Pollard gets the ball more than 15 times in a game, they're 8-0.
And so let me tell you why that works for Pollard. Because he could easily be disgruntled. He could easily be tired of calling the backup or the number two. But he understands, like, okay, in the role that I'm playing, I'm shining.
I'm the man. Every time I come in, I do my part.
Absolutely.
The owner is happy. The coaches is happy. The fans is happy. The score is happy.
And I don't have to beat my body up as much. I like
it. I want to start.
And I'm on the Dallas Cowboys. Come on, man. I'm America's team. And I'm good.
Best life ever.
Let's go.
And no one really has that one type of back anymore like they did back in the day with Emmitt Smith with the Cowboys or LaDainian Tomlinson with the San Diego Chargers. But now you have – I mean, I know you still got Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, who had a hell of a game against the Houston Texans.
He put up – 200 yards.
219 yards. And
hey, do y'all see with the – next time y'all watch the Tennessee Titans play, look at majority of the offense. After the quarterback gives Derrick Henry the ball, they literally just kind of like
they're watching.
They light the guards and take their feet, take their cleats off.
Yes. The funny part about that is Derrick Henry, 219 yards in that game. That's his sixth time doing it in his career. Only two other players, if you can think of the two other players I'm talking about.
Jim Brown, OJ?
Nope. OJ and Eric Dickerson.
No, OJ.
Adrian and Barry Peterson. Sanders.
No, Adrian Peterson. You got the OJ right. You cut up on OJ. One. That was a good one. But it was also, y'all didn't get
you going to say you cut up. You cut up on the OJ. All the OJ fans hate you.
Maybe it's time to wrap the show now.
We're gonna say it all calm. You cut up on the OJ.
You see how he was like, man. Look, he just grinning like he just intended. Like you're a little kid, bro.
let's get into the 3-minute drill, dog.
Yeah, man.
Yay or nay, homie? Real quick.
Okay, let's make it. I can't stop laughing about what I just said. Y'all don't want to laugh with me. That's fine. First one, Aikman says that Amari Cooper gone from the Cowboys. Jerry Jones should trade for another star wideout. After what we've seen this past week against the Chicago Bears, Gallup's back with the Cowboys. You still have Lamb.
I don't think they have to trade if they go get Odell Beckham Jr., right? Because he's a free agent, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, but do you think you need another receiver right now? That's the whole question.
Sure. Here's why. Because Gallup is brittle, right? I like Gallup, but he can't make it. He hadn't survived the whole season yet, has he?
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Go get OB.
Always something going wrong with Gallup, yeah.
Put your team in a running for Odell Beckham Jr. We know he probably going to wind up somewhere in Kansas City or Buffalo or maybe back in L.A. But I'm Jerry Jones. I'm saying, hey, we're going to add our team to the list. If you want to come out, come holler at us.
I think it's a yay. I like the running game that we just talked about with the Cowboys. You could always add another piece like what the Rams did last year. The Rams did what most teams want to do now, what Philadelphia did this past season. Go out and get the players you need because you want to win it. This year, you're not talking about 5 years down the line. Absolutely. You're talking about winning it this year. So if you have an Odell Beckham that's at a good bargain price, and you can rent him for a year, you know, for the last part of the season,
you can.
I'm gonna do these grown men. You know why you can't? Treat him like
Alex. He has his ring. You know why you can get him cheap? Because he already has his ring.
Yeah, he already has his ring. Yeah, and I mean he'll get his money eventually, but I don't want to pay him this year if I can get him for a good price. And put him on my team and help us make a playoff run, I'll bring him in.
So, yay for you, yay for Rock. I'm going to go nay. Dak got his own problems. He don't need nobody else new. He don't need no new problems, dog. throw it to CeeDee Lamb and leave me alone, dog. Next question. Go ahead.
Chaka Khan. Now, we all know Chaka Khan, right? What'd she thinks do? Singers who rely on auto-tunes need to try a different job, like working for the post office. So she's against guys.
Man.
Don't do it like that, Chaka.
I love Chaka Khan.
She ain't
Khan.
Singing no more, pretty much.
Yeah, but she's...
Where does your work, dog?
But you know how people that can actually sing, how they feel about people that use the auto tunes and all that. But if you're making money from it, I'm not paying for it.
If I use auto tune, I tell Chaka to shut up.
Man, they gave T-Pain the business for so long when he came out. You know, they liked him, but they still like, man, that's not really singing. Listen, if you can be creative enough to come up with your own lane to make dope music, I ain't mad at you, man. Go ahead and do it. I mean, it's a different sound when you perform live, because now you got to really sing.
but like I said, I love Chaka, but we need to stop being bitter toward each other, because this
Chaka sound like an old lady talking about these new kids and all this hippity hop hop music.
Yes, because she did the same thing when she took Prince song. I feel for you. You know the song back in the 80s?
Chaka Khan.
She didn't like that part. She was pissed when they started putting the rapper, the dude from Rapper's Delight at the beginning, saying Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. She didn't want none of that. She just wanted her singing. That's what made it a hit, even if it was her singing.
Chaka Khan is a whole alcoholic. Next story.
That's it.
There it is. So I'm nay on that one, doggone it.
Let the artist be creative.
I'm nay on that too, Chaka. Cause one day somebody gonna say, Chaka who?
Now we gonna respect Chaka, man. She put her footprint deep into this doggone music business. So there it is. She's a legend.
She did.
So on that note, man, I Hate the Homies podcast. Wrapping up, I'm Rock Teezy for Sheezy.
Hey man, it's your boy Griff. And I hate the homies, but I love Chaka Khan now.
And it's your boy Super Dave giving rocks to all the kids in the world. Come by my house. I got something for you.
There it is.
Guess what? We don't care.
We don't care.
Hey, make sure you also check me out with my beautiful wife, Crystal, on my other podcast called The Perfect Pair Podcast. We talk everything relationship-based, black love, and just anything else when it comes to building strong relationships in your marriage, in business. And all of the above. So check it out, Perfect Pair Podcast. Deuces, man. We out, yeah.
We'll see y'all next episode.
I Hate the Homies.
I Hate the Homies is an Urban One Incorporated and Reach Media production, hosted by your boy Griff, Rock T, and Crazy Super Dave. Follow I Hate the Homies on all social media at I Hate the Homies. Executive produced by me, Arlen Griff Griffin. How about that? Senior Director of Podcast Operations, my girl Sierra Reed. Supervisory Producer Kobe Cove Tyner, and the Eagles Ain't Lost Yet. Sales and Corporate Partnerships, Josh Romani, Kadisha Campbell, and Michelle Marino. Digital Marketing, Walter Gaynor, J.R. Davis, your Bears, though, and Tim Hall. Thank y'all for listening to I Hate the Homies podcast, and please tell a friend to tell a friend.